Thanks, brothers. Half a day, church? Good morning.
Good morning. Am I good?
Yep, I'm glad I can hear Ed say, "You got it, bro," but really, God's got it. Amen?
Amen.
For those of the guys that don't know me, it's been a while. My name is Glenn. I am now the new full-time hired minister. I'll be leading this church. Actually been up here and preached a Sunday sermon, so I'm one to kind of run away from this floor. Actually, she's got me a little nickname, and she's called me Jonah for the longest time. I really try to run away. I don't know. I mean, there's a few different reasons. For my job, I teach, and so I get up. It's not public speaking because I don't feel a fear of public speaking. I don't quite really know what it is. I just feel like... One, I know it's a big responsibility, you know, and I got to get up in front of, the audience before me, and then some of these lessons, I think, are even streamed online, so I don't know who's all listening, but it's a big responsibility to handle God's word.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'm not totally sure why, you know, I feel this way, but like I said, I always have this nervous feeling in me, although I speak as a teacher every single day. And I know it's really because I want to be able to bring glory to God.
Amen.
And I want to make sure that when I preach, I'm using His Word in the way that His Word was designed to go out.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm also grateful for the lessons that's being provided. I love listening to Ed. I love now listening to Anthony. It's awesome, really. Whoever comes up here, I'm really, like, I'm moved to be able to sit there and be able to take in what other people's perspectives have on God's Word. So I prefer to do that. I prefer to sit down and listen to the word being preached and get the most from it, right? Than to be up here being the one to do it, because it just makes you feel uneasy.
Come on. Amen.
So I guess I'm asking, like, be gracious, Father. I mean, you guys, if I might be here till like 1 o'clock, if I have you guys since you passed lunch. I don't quite know the rhythms anymore. I don't know how fast I can get to these slides, or just trying to get God's Word out to you guys. So yeah, I'm always grateful for it being preached. So it's not an easy task. That I'll tell you. It's not an easy task. One, putting the lesson together, and then two, getting up and actually trying to preach it and get out what you think God is trying to say through you. Amen? But I'm up for the opportunity to be unified with my brothers and sisters to serve in God's kingdom. I really am. And I know that when I was asked to kind of get back into preaching regularly with Ed and with Anthony, Marvin called me. I was off island, so I was still on my summer time out. And I was, you know, without a doubt, I was kind of like, I don't want to do it again. I had that feeling. But without a doubt, I said yes in a heartbeat, right, to serve. So amen. Yes, I just want to be able to know that I'm still serving in God's kingdom in some way. Amen? So before I begin, guys, I definitely need to go to God. So if you will, pray with me. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, Father, for trying to help me, Father, to see where I'm at before you. Am I unified with you? Am I unified with the body? Am I up here serving and doing what you called me and your purpose for me is set out to do? Yeah. Father, I pray, Lord, that however way you use me, Lord, that I'll be making you proud in what I do. Amen. I pray that as I'm up here preaching your word, Father, that it is your words, not mine. Father, as I pray countless times to be in one accord with your spirit, as I speak your words, as I read your scriptures, as I give illustrations, Father, they're of your spirit and not mine. I pray, God, that you remove me, remove my pride, remove just my flesh, Father, so that what I share, Father, will sit in the hearts and the ears and the minds of my brothers and sisters and those who are hearing this lesson, Father. I pray that it will impact, inspire, and motivate unity, Father, within each and every one of us hearing the word. So thank you, Father, for this morning. I pray for the children's ministry. I pray for the workers. I pray, Father, for those of our family members that are not here, that may be tuned on online or whatnot, that your spirit be with them. We thank you so much, Father. I love you. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So our theme for the month is actually, it's been unity. And Ed shared last week, unity is a decision. You know, and that kind of sat with me. And I think the scripture I remember is Amos 3:3, when he talked about two people walk together, but they walk together because they agree to walk together. And the week prior, I actually was serving in children's ministry because we were short. I think there was we were all getting hit with being sick. And so I served in there, and I didn't get to actually hear Anthony's lesson personally, but I went back and I listened to Anthony's lesson on Facebook. And the cool thing was, I know Anthony, he talked about the Good Samaritan, right? Talking about the different people that had walked by, and the actual one that actually helped was who we would think wouldn't be the one to help, yeah. Right? And really the importance of the relationships and being a friend is more the mindset of Christ, and that's what makes us all unified when we're having the same mindset of Christ. Yeah. He also had mentioned that when we walk together, there's unity. I wanted to be able to kind of highlight a couple of things from that. I'll be talking about two things today. It's going to be unity is in the reason. It's actually in the reason. And then two is character is in the unity. I don't know if that makes sense, but I'll try to make sense as the lesson goes on. Amen. And number one is unity is in the reason. It's in the reason. And you see, as we talk about walking together, right, you must agree to walk together. However, I do notice there are times in my life when I was thinking about this, I can walk together with people, but yet still be on a different path. I don't know if you quite have experienced that. I've been in New York City. I've been in the Philippines. I've been in the mall, right, where there's a lot of people, right? And you're walking together with people, right? And when you're walking together with people, you can be walking in the same direction, but you have no real reason to be walking with those people other than the fact that you got to get somewhere and they're kind of with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? And so we can be together, and I think Ed said this, is togetherness can be being together, but it's not the same as unity.
Yeah.
So what makes, what determines unity when we're together? Well, what determines it is the reason why we're together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we can be together here, but what's the reason why we're together here? Is the reason why we're together here of one purpose, or is it of different paths? Right? I mean, are you here because you had a rough week and you figure, you know what, I'm just going to go and maybe somebody will say something that's going to speak the word and it might help me with my life and where I'm going? Are you here because you feel like I got to be there because I've been doing this for the last 20, 30, 40 years of my life? Are you here because your parents are here? Are you here because your friend might be, you know, here and you want to hang out with your friend? I don't know. What's the reason why you're here is the question. But the reason why you're here will determine whether or not unity is in place. Does that make sense? Amen? You know, Jesus' idea of unity is the church being like him and the Father. There's Jesus, right, and then there's God the Father. His idea of unity was that we need to be unified the way he's unified to God the Father up above. That's his idea of unity. So if we're not unified in that way like he is with his Father, then I dare to say we're not unified in the way Christ calls us to be unified.
Yeah.
And that's something to pay attention to.
Yep.
Right? In John chapter 17, Jesus prays for the disciples at the closing of the Last Supper. And at the end of it, he prays multiple times for the disciples to be one. So to me, that kind of implies they're together at the Last Supper, they're at the table together, but are they unified in the purpose and what Jesus thought that they should be like in terms of unity? To me, it implies no. Because if they were, then why did Jesus have to pray for his disciples multiple times for them to be united as one? They were together, but they weren't unified, I guess, in the purpose that God had set out for them. Physically, while Jesus was there, he knew that in a minute, which was what the following day, he's going to go to the cross and he's going to depart from them. Would they be unified the way he's unified to his Father?
Mm.
Well, let's take a look at it. In John chapter 17, in verse 11, we can look at it, right? And remember, if you guys recall, I don't know if you looked over the different scriptures, a different perspective in the gospel. Remember how they were at the Last Supper? Like, they're asking, hey, Jesus, who's going to be the greatest among us? Hey, surely not I, Lord. You know, they were more bickering. They were arguing. They were more bickering, and they were kind of at it, right? They weren't necessarily unified. They were together, but they weren't unified. And I think that's why Jesus knew. He was like, these guys aren't unified the way they need to be. Mm. And so in verse 11.
Come on, bro.
Give me a second here, guys.
Nice glasses.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the first time I'm using them up here, so you can tell the time's gone by. Own it, though. Ed calls me to own it, so I say amen. I'm in my 30s now, guys. I just turned 30 yesterday. I'm joking. I'm not lying, God. I'm not lying. I'm just joking. All right, in John chapter 17, in verse 11, it reads, make sure I'm in the right spot. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. Yeah. But there's... Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Right? And then you go further down in verses 20 to 23, and it reads, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That's another time. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and they may be one as we are one. Now that's Jesus praying. And that's multiple times that he's praying that they will be one as they are one. And that's why I say, I don't believe that they were unified the way they needed to be coming into his departure when he physically leaves earth. And that's just to say, guys, we can be a church, we can be a body, and we can be sitting here together, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're unified. Right? And that's just the truth.
Yep.
Right? I mean, only one that can determine whether we're unified is really your reason for why you're here and what you're doing. You know, a few weeks later, what happened? We can look at the day of Pentecost, which was after he had died, was buried, resurrected. And then the day of Pentecost, we can take a look at that in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, which was the day of Pentecost, it reads, and I'm going to say this, it's in the New King James Version. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So imagine, guys, amazing how attitudes just change in just a few weeks. And if you look at the number of days, I think it might be like 50 days, because I know after he died, buried, and resurrected, there was a 40-day period where it shares in Acts chapter 1, where for 40 days he was appearing to them and teaching them and things of that such, right? But they were of one accord in just a few weeks later. You would wonder why. One accord, guys, means they were unified. They were unified in mind, in thought, in purpose, and they were in one accord. And what did they do after they became in that one accord? Well, that's where the beginning of the church was preached. That's where the kingdom, for those that don't know the word and didn't know who Christ was to be preached. Well, there's one thing I can say. Jesus prayed multiple times. And if Jesus prays for you multiple times, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? That's just his will. That's just exactly what was destined. That was what was designed, you know, to be. You know, I take a look at an illustration for this. It's like a sports team. I'm a big sports fan, you know, and I wonder, you know, as a church, right, how does that apply to us? How can you and I be unified in that very same way? We're very different people. I'm Chamorro, right? There's American, there's Filipino, there's Chinese, there's Vietnamese, there's all kinds of nationalities, right? We're all different people. We have different upbringings, different ages, different backgrounds. But wow, you know, how do we be one accord, especially in the way the world is today? How? Right? America can't even get this. It's supposed to be God bless America. Right? United States of America. It's divided States of America, if you really think about it. Right? Because of the way people's mentality, the way opinions are out there. Right? God didn't design it that way. Even in our own government here on Guam, I listen to the hearings, and you look at the senators, and they're fighting, and like, really, where is unification? It's supposed to be a democracy where the people unified make a decision. We put people in charge to say, you make the decisions, and you know what? That's going to be the best decision made. They're busy bickering and fighting. You know why? Because they don't have the design that God put together for us. That's the kind of unification that we need, is the way God was together with Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do. We need to be that model, guys, because unless we're not that, unless we're that model, it's not going to get better. The island of Guam will not get better. The United States will not get better. What's happening in the different countries with the war and all, it's not going to get better until unification happens the way it's designed in the Bible.
Yep.
That's the way I see it, the way I read it.
Yep.
Amen? Amen? On a sports team, you look at the different people, right? They got, in basketball, you got a point guard. You got a shooting forward. You got a small forward. You got a power forward. You got a center, right? They're all different people. They got different roles. But they got one goal. Their goal is, when we're on offense, we're going to put that ball in the basket because we're all going to get those points. And then on defense, I guard this guy, you guard that guy. And we're going to have this kind of a plan. Is it a zone defense or a man-to-man? But at the end of the day, we got one goal. We're going to stop that team from scoring into the basket. Does that make sense, guys? There's one purpose, there's one goal. But we all have different roles in it. And what's your role? What's your role in the church right now? What's your role on how we're going to serve? What's your role to show unity? What's your role to show that God and Jesus is one, and that's who we follow? Because that's how people are going to know. If they can't see that in you, then how can they say that we're a unified church of God and Jesus Christ? How? You know, their reasons had shifted, and their goal and their purposes, it was all the same. They were of one accord, as it reads in Acts chapter 2. So let's take a look back at Acts chapter 1 and see maybe what happened.
All
right. Right? In Acts chapter 1, as we flip back.
All right.
Okay? Now, I won't read the whole chapter for the sake of time. Those guys are watching the kids. But in the beginning, it talks about the 40 days after the resurrection, right? And Jesus was coming back and teaching, as you know, he was having appearances. Well, in verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So he's giving them a purpose here to be one, and it's going to be preaching this word out to all the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Right? In verse 9, it says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." I would dare to say, guys, they saw with their own eyes the miraculousness of Jesus. They saw with their own eyes what was preached. They heard for many years what was in the Old Testament, what was supposed to happen. They saw it for their own eyes. They walked with Jesus for 3 years. They saw the miracles. They saw the healings. They saw the transformations. He said he was going to die, he was going to be risen, and he was going to be risen up to heaven on the 30th day. He said it. And here, they saw it. They saw it. Now, we don't have that opportunity today to see it with our own eyes, but we do have the opportunity to see it right here in God's Word.
Amen.
And it's that very same reason. When we know and we see and we believe, that's the very reason why we live the life the way we do. We know that it was Jesus that saved us from our lives, from our own sin and what we deserve. We know. There's nobody that's going to convince me otherwise. There are people that are going to say, "Bro, your life changed because you changed because you're a good person, Glenn. You changed, Glenn, because you saw how bad your life was and you had it in you to change. That's in you, bro. That's because of you, bro. That's what the world tells you." But I know in here it was Jesus that did that. And nobody's going to convince me otherwise. All I can do is convince them it was Jesus that did it. It was Jesus that's teaching me that I need to be unified in this way with my brothers and sisters. Because my brothers and sisters are the ones that help me when I need that time of help. Like Anthony shared in his lesson about being brothers that were being there for him. Like every one of you guys can share. There are different people, multiple, that were there for me in my ups and downs in my walk as a Christian. But it's because I believe that that's how God and Jesus instituted it.
Amen?
Amen? That's the unity that they were talking about. You know, in their faith, guys, their belief, I believe that if they didn't believe that, they would be gone. When Jesus physically died, they'd be gone. But it was their faith and what they saw that drove them to still wait and to listen to what Jesus had said to do, and to wait and now in Acts chapter 2 actually do it. Right? Because if you didn't believe it, would you stay and do it? Right? If you didn't believe that Jesus said all of this and did all of this, if he said, hey, wait here and I'll be back. Just wait here, do this. I'd be like, okay, shoot, and I'd be gone. Right? I mean, for real, I mean, do you guys, when you don't believe somebody's really going to be real about what they say, are you going to still wait on them when they say wait? No, you're going to say, nah, okay, last time you told me that, you didn't follow through. So why am I going to stick around for the same thing? Right?
Yeah.
These guys stuck around. It was a natural response. What they believed was a natural response. That's the unity that Jesus was calling for them. That was the reason why that they were unified, because they saw, they knew, and they believed that it was the unity that Christ had said they needed to be like with God. They believed it. They had no doubt in their mind.
Yep.
Now, I believe, for me, at baptism, that's exactly the way I felt. But I will dare to say that as the years have gone by, things change at times. Mm. Not because Jesus changed it, but because I changed it. Because things affected me in certain ways. Whether I was in leadership, not in leadership, whether somebody hurt my feelings, or whether somebody did something wrong to me, or whether something didn't happen the way I thought it was supposed to happen, I changed. Jesus won't change. He doesn't change. This was the design since the beginning.
Amen.
Right? What's the reason why you do what you do? Amen?
Amen.
Now, this was their natural response. So when I say it's their natural response, you don't do these things because, I'm told to do it. The Bible says to do it. I'm commanded to do it. I'm called to do it. For me, I do it because, wow, I can't believe what Jesus did for me. What can I do in return?
Yeah.
And this is the response. It's a character. That's the second point I'm going to share, is the character is in the unity. If you're unified in the way God and Jesus said we needed to be unified, then it's going to be a natural response. It's a character that you carry. It's not, I'm going to do it because. No, it's wow, this is what was done for me. I need to be unified because I want other people to see this.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, to me, I believe if that's not where you're, if you don't have those characteristics, I'm just going to say this is just my opinion. I don't see this in, like, the Bible didn't say this straight out. If you don't have those characteristics, I would say you're not unified with me. And you're not unified with that mentality of Christ. That's just my own opinion. Like, if you're not living your life with these characters in your life, it would dare to say, how could you say you're unified? I mean, does that make sense? There are times I'm not unified. There are times I'm not unified. Right? Not living the life that I'm supposed to live as a reaction, as a response. You know, lots of people say they're Christians. Mm-hmm. Really? But the life doesn't resemble that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say I'm the same way too. There are times in my life I'm not resembling that. So therefore, I'm not unified. So there's a constant unification or not unified. And that's up to you to make sure you know if you're unified or not. I don't know, that's just, you know, I'm not saying doctrinal together. I'm just saying in times in your life when you're up and down, you can become disunified, and it's on you to go back to God to be unified, to be in that same perspective again.
Yep.
Amen. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, and again, it's this Christ that was what keeps us unified. Why do we do what we do? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, down to 16, it actually reads, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died.
Yeah.
And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And that's what I mean by that part of disunified. See, what compels me to do what I do is because I know that Jesus died for me.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by that. When I'm no longer living in that way, if I'm not compelled anymore to live that way, then I would dare to say I'm not unified. But when we know that Jesus died for us, that's what they saw. They saw Jesus die, resurrect, and then be taken up. They knew that his life was lived and he died for them. And that's what compelled them to say, we're going to usher this in. We got to go and preach the good news to all the ends of the earth. So are we in that same accord today? Do we know what Jesus did for us so that we're going to take this and preach it to all the ends of the island and all the ends of the world and all the ends of the earth? That's what it's about, guys. In Ephesians chapter 4.
All right.
I think this is probably one of the best ways to look at the characteristics of unity. In Ephesians chapter 4, it reads, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle." Very hard to do. "Be patient." Very hard to do. "Bearing with one another in love." I think that can be hard to do when I disagree. "But make every effort." I'm going to repeat that. Make every effort. Every effort. Every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." If you have this mindset right here, that's the unity that God and Jesus is talking about here. That's the unity. See, verse 2 tells us what it is and how we need to live. Verse 2 and 3 tells us how to do it. It says, live a life worthy of the calling that you have. Amen. Are you living worthy? Do you guys know, worthy comes from an old term that means weighed, when you weigh it up. That's what worthy means. Like me, I farm. You guys, we share that a lot. I hear those illustrations a lot when I'm in the audience. Glenn's a farmer, right? Well, when I weigh my crops, I'm going to make sure that when I'm weighing it, I'm going to get the money that it's worth, because it's got to equal up. If I'm giving all these crops and it's super heavy, but the money's this light, it don't make sense. And the other way around. So when you live a life worthy of the calling, well, what's the worth? What are you balancing with? What's the worth? You got to live a life worthy of the calling. Who's calling you? Jesus is calling you to live this life. So what's the worth? The worth is your life and Jesus. In our sense, we could say right here, my life and this right here. Am I living a life worthy, or am I living a lightweight here? Am I overdoing it here? I don't know. But you gotta live a life weighed out as Christ. Amen. That's why we call ourselves a Christian, right? Christian means Christ-like. Yeah. So if your life is not resembling exactly what Christ is, then I would dare to say you're not living a life worthy of the calling.
Come on, bro.
I'm not trying to get you guys down. I'm trying to motivate you and encourage you to say, if you're not living worthy of what you are called to do, then I'm motivating you to say, we need to change something.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say here.
Amen, bro.
That's what the scripture's saying here. Right? Yeah. And how do we do it? Be completely humble.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with that. I'm always trying to debate somebody at work, with my friends, my family. I always want to be right. I just do. I don't know why. I don't know. I just want to be right. When I'm talking about something, I always want to be right. Well, I don't really know anybody that wants to be wrong. I'm just going to debate, but I'm going to be wrong just because I want to be. I don't know anybody like that. For me, I always want to be right. And I'm going to fight till I'm right. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm going to try to make myself right, even though, like me and Mar, when we get into arguments, I'm like, oh, boy, I'm going to win this battle. What can I say to make me right? You know, that's the pride. Versus just be humble and go, you know what? You're right, honey. Especially your kids. If you have kids, oh my gosh, when your kids are right. Whoa, boy, that's tough. Well, I need to learn a little more to be a better dad, but I'll tell you, it's hard when your kids are right. So just be humble. Be completely humble. And gentle. Because then I can try to humble out, okay? Okay, everybody said, okay, I'm wrong already. I get it. I'm wrong. You don't have to keep talking about it. You guys might be laughing, but that's really how I get. When I'm like proven wrong, man, it's like I'm not gentle. Right? And this is what God's saying. If I want to live a life worthy of his calling, then I need to be humble and gentle. Oh, how do you do that? Right? Be patient. 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 Oh, I don't even know why that even exists. I don't even know how I can do that. It's so hard when I'm like, I mean, every single one of us, I know you guys get impatient too. You know what I'm saying? You're waiting in a long line and you're hungry? That's tough. That is tough for real. I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to get mad. Really, I change clinics because I'm waiting too long. So I'm like, hey man, I've been waiting outside for over an hour, then you call me inside, I get happy and excited. I'm inside for more than an hour. I'm like, well, then why call me in? You know what I mean? So I change clinics because of that, because I'm just impatient. I really am. Right? But this is how we're supposed to be living a life worthy of our calling. We need to be able to be patient, because why? Other people need to see, wow, that's a patient guy. Wow, that's a humble guy. He's so gentle, even though he kind of messed up there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that. I really don't. And you know, I work with people, and I think I have the other observance, I guess. Now, Mara, they go, oh, Mara's gentle. But it should be the same, right? It should be the same. At work, it should be the same. Hey, wow, Mara's gentle. So Ben's gentle. It's not. They're like, bro, you need to be gentle like your wife. Wow, that's convicting, right? At the same time, it's like, well, shouldn't I be? I'm a Christian like her. I'm a disciple too. I read the same Bible. I read the same scripture. It doesn't say like, wife, be more gentle. It doesn't say that. So it's a call to repentance on my end, right? But that's just that. I mean, how about at work? How about at school? We have students here, UOG high school maybe. I mean, how do your friends view you? How about you guys at your work and your coworkers? How do they view you? If we took a survey today at your work, maybe, you know, wherever, GDOE, or wherever you at, you know what I'm saying? Insurance company, I don't know. If we took a survey at your work and put the most gentle person here, the most humble person here, would it be you? I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know too.
But unity, remember, is in the character. The second thing I'm saying, it's a character, it's a response. Mm. That's what we should look like.
Amen.
Amen? We are unified in Christ, guys, when we are living a life worthy of the calling. Amen? See, where are we at here? Got lost in my own lesson. That usually happens.
Come on, man.
You know, some will say that when I talk about laying it out, right, that there's no way I can do that. Right? There's no way you can be like Christ. You can't be perfect. There's no way. But, you know, when you look at the second part, right, when you look down, it says, make every effort. And I think that's what's being emphasized. Make every effort. If you're saying, I can't be Christ, that would be blasphemy, right, or whatever. You can't. You're right. But when it says, make every effort, Then all that means is that when you kind of aren't like Christ in that moment, then make every effort to be so. Mm. Repent. Make every effort. Make every effort to be patient. Make every effort to be humble. Make every effort to be gentle. Every effort.
Amen.
And that's how you can balance that scale. It's not saying we're going to be Christ. You know, the call is actually to those of us that are already in unity. Right? Because it says keep. It doesn't say start there. It says keep.
Yeah.
Keep. Let's read that back again. Right? It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
Amen.
We're called, guys, to keep the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
So if that's where you're at, that would mean you're already united. But keep it. And I guess we can get to a place where we're not keeping it. And I guess that's what I'm trying to say this morning. You know, and that's just my call. How are you doing in your life at this point right now in that? Right? In the church. In the church. There's a lot of needs in the church right now. Right? As I was messing around and joking earlier, our full-time minister, right, has left. Right? So we can panic and freak out, but we've been in this position many times. I think the whole life of the Mount Christian Church has been more than character this way, where we unify because of the one God that we believe in, and we serve in that way, right? So we're called to kind of keep that spirit, and as we do things together, as we make decisions, things are going to change, guys.
Yep.
Decisions are already changing, right? This leadership team, that's even changed. The decisions that are being made, that's even changed. But you know what? If we're unified in spirit, it doesn't matter what those outside circumstances and changes are. If we're unified in spirit, provided we're not going outside of what the doctrine says we're doing, then we're just different. We have different roles and different responsibilities. And we're being called to keep the spirit of unity there. Amen?
Amen.
I'll close with this illustration. And I was going to use this guitar.
Come on, girl, I'm seeing it.
Yeah, well, that's Jeff. He said he could sing. But really, you know, it was an illustration that I saw, right? And it talks about, we're talking this whole thing about unity, right? And, you know, all of us are being called to unity, right? But we're all different, like I shared. We're all different. And I use this guitar as an illustration because this thing and the way it's put together has individual components that where they were designed weren't designed in perfect unity. Like these strings, I was trying to find some strings at home that were separated. When I buy the strings, they weren't on the instrument that it's on. When you buy the string, it's not together with what it was created to be used for. Right? Now, Jeanette strung it up, put it together. Right? But each string has a different thickness to it. Right? It's a different level, right, where it's at. But if you look at the whole instrument together, this is the headstock right here. And this down here is the body. But you see the individual string, when it's connected to the head and the body, that's when there's tension. And in order for you to hear a sound, it's got to have tension. Right? So in your life, if you're connected to the head and the body, in order for you to have sound, to be able to get out there and preach that good news or glorify God, there's going to be some tension.
Yep.
Right?
Good point.
So we don't need to freak out when there's tension. That's what it's designed for.
Amen.
That's what we're designed for. God says, I designed Casey to be that way. I designed Brian to be that way. I designed Jeanette to be that way. And there's going to be tension in their life. But I'll tell you what, if we tune them up just the right way, God, then that tension will be in tune. And even though it sounds different than this other guy over here, and this guy over here, and this girl over here, and that child over there, and that baby over there, we can put it together and we can make a beautiful sound out of it. Does that make sense? So guys, let's be connected to Christ the head and the body of the church, and let's serve in our roles that we can give, because the church needs to be given the roles that God gave you guys. So that we can make melody, we can make music, we can shine, we can sound out so that people will know who Christ is. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, guys.